Welcome back to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Leila Doolittle. In today's special episode, I am excited to share a conversation I had when I was recently interviewed by Boris Bergen of Theia Health AI. That interview was also published on their platform, the Health Insights Podcast, where you could find a range of insightful episodes exploring cutting-edge health strategies and innovations. In this discussion, I delve into the principles of functional neurology, functional medicine, and bioenergetics that I integrate into my practice. You'll hear about how I address complex health cases through personalized, comprehensive plans tailored to each patient's unique needs. I talk about the incredible results I've been using through neuroplasticity exercises, targeted treatments and therapies, and why mindset, emotional well-being, and mental resilience are key factors in achieving transformative health outcomes. My focus is always to co-create these journeys with patients, approaching their care with both evidence-based strategies and a heart-centered perspective. In doing so, we foster an environment that supports not only physical health, but also emotional and mental wellness. I'm thrilled to bring you this dialogue, and I encourage you to check out the Theia Health Insights podcast by Theia Health AI for the illuminating conversations on health, wellness, and human potential. Thanks for joining me here on the Resonant Life podcast. Now, let's dive into the conversation.
With functional neurology, what we're doing is we're optimizing the way that the brain is sending signals, receiving the signals, and that way it can provide the right types of stimuli to every function within the body. Health is already there. The wellness is what we work on maintaining. And the brain may be talking and communicating, but is the rest of the nervous system capable of listening to it?
Dr. Doolittle, welcome.
Thank you.
You've been 8 years in practice plus.
Yes.
Over 8 years, you must have made correlations, seen a lot of things. Is there anything that sticks out to you that you've seen in people's health or healthcare that you think would be worthy to share?
Sure. Interesting and very open question. So what I do is with functional medicine, functional neurology, and bioenergetics, I have a wide range of clients that I work with. And I say the most noteworthy of the results that we've received have been the miracle cases, where super complex cases, most of the practitioners aren't finding the answers. And because I'm trying to listen to what their bodies are saying and fill in all those puzzle pieces, then we can pull together the complicated cases in a streamlined way that creates miracles. So I'd say with functional neurology, that's the most interesting types of results that we may get.
Interesting.
Miraculous results that are much quicker than you would imagine.
Yeah.
Helping to reconnect the nervous system through neuroplasticity, through exercises, therapies that can stimulate the nervous system to connect in ways that it wasn't able to function before. And within maybe 2 or 3 days worth of those kinds of exercises and therapies, the brain just is able to rewire those connections to the nervous system.
Amazing. Very interesting. And I think functional neurology is not something that's commonly known, commonly talked about. I'd love for you to define for us, in your opinion, or how you define functional neurology so that we can get on the same page.
Sure. Well, functional neurology is a term that we use where we're restoring function to the nervous system. You know, we have the central nervous system, the peripheral nervous system, and the ways that these are communicating. These are the nerves that go throughout our entire body and bring in informational signals to the brain. And then vice versa, the current central nervous system sends signals back out to peripheral function within the body. And this can be function through the extremities for movements to occur, for sensory function to be stimulated, or even abdominal organ function. So it plays a role in every single health system of our body. And with functional neurology, what we're doing is we're optimizing the way that the brain is sending signals, receiving the signals, and that way it can provide the right types of stimuli to every function within the body. And we create this change through neuroplasticity. It's the concept where the nervous system is capable of rewiring and connecting. And it's constantly doing this on a daily basis. Every time we're learning something new, we're creating neuroplasticity, positive neuroplasticity. And then we also can create negative neuroplasticity, where we're snipping and pruning types of neurons and neural connections where our brain just deems it unworthy anymore. Maybe whenever we don't use a certain type of, like just a a habit and we aren't using that any longer, we're getting out of a rut of thinking. Maybe we're re-transforming the way that our nervous system has constantly been in a loop. We're actually able to prune some of those pathways and no longer use those. And then we can use the fuel sources and use the neural connections for something there. So we're able to upgrade our nervous system and even our thought patterns and minds.
Super interesting. I really want to dive a little bit more even just to make it real for somebody listening, right? Because they're like, A, you're doing miracles. B, it's through functional neurology, which I didn't even know existed today. And there's all these different ways we're doing it, right? Because I think most people always share like, this happened, but it's like, what was your thought process? Just so that whoever's listening can be like, oh, the way she's thinking about the problem is so unique and different, and maybe it's going to open up the way they think about their own health.
Absolutely. Yeah, with the nervous system, we have to simplify it because it can get extremely complex, and then we get lost in the weeds on all the things that we can do to stimulate the nervous system. And it just comes back to how balanced is the nervous system's communication signals, and how are the different functions within the brain actually stimulating two various lobes? So we have anatomy that we think about and then function that we think about within the brain. And with the nervous system, it's important that we have balance between the hemispheres. So we have certain lobes in our brain that we have functions that are mapped to those lobes. We know that if we have a hemispheristic imbalance, that's what we will reference. If there's an imbalance in the left side versus the right side receiving signals and one side is not communicating properly to the other or to other lobes of the brain as it should. Whenever there are imbalances, then we can see functional imbalances throughout the rest of the body. And so with these cases, we just simplify it. We map out through exam and we can see incredible things about the brain to see what can be optimized.
Interesting.
And from there, then we just restore function by very simple eye movement exercises or balance exercises, stimulation to the sensory nerves. And this sends in the signals to the nervous system so that it can upgrade the way that those neurons are communicating.
Very interesting. And is my assumption correct that in these situations, it was a car accident or it was a sports injury or whatever the case is, right? There was some accident or trauma, if we want to call it that, of it could be small or large, that made their nervous system shut down.
Yeah.
And so basically what you're saying to me is those are reversible. And I don't know if that's all the time or every case, but I was like, at least we can try things to stimulate those things again and let them reactivate or self-heal. Am I saying it correctly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great way to say it.
Yeah.
And yes, it's not every case. It depends on which cases it might be.
Yeah.
And we've had cases where it's traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah.
It could be also emotional, major emotional injuries.
Yeah.
Can create a major shutdown, profound shutdown within the nervous system. And then we see functional changes and alterations post that, or it could also be chemicals like biotoxins or environmental toxins that could create chemical concussions in the brain. And it creates this change that's so drastic within the nervous system that the brain is not able to use those fuel sources as it should anymore.
Gotcha.
Sides are blocked. Synapses are not able to communicate between the neurons like they need to.
Gotcha.
Those communication signals just can't get through. It's like the brain may be talking and communicating, but is the rest of the nervous system capable of listening to it?
Very interesting. How many of those systems we can activate? And if we try all of them and nothing works, then it's kind of very unfortunate. There's no path forward. Or are you discovering more and more systems and more? I know you're very innovative and forward thinking, right? So I'm sure you're always trying. That's why I want to dive a little bit into how are you guys experimenting with that? And do you feel like there's a set amount or are you finding that there's more? And what are those?
Yes. Well, we don't have a certain number.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a constant way that we can innovate and go down new trails of thinking. And that's part of the reason why I got the functional neurology training before I went into these other fields, functional medicine, and went down the rabbit trails of the chiropractic and understanding more about the peripheral nervous system and how we're able to start simulating some of those areas. Bioenergetics, that's another level where we're working with the nervous system from mental and emotional and almost like a spiritual plane.
Yeah.
So we're really helping with the energetics and those electrical activations. And that's where there is an infinite number of things that we can add in. Just it depends on the right sequence and the right timing. And if the client is ready for it, ready for the healing to happen. Because many times there are lessons and health concerns, and it's an opportunity for them to learn about themselves and what's important to them and how much they're going to apply their time and energy and effort in maybe transforming themselves or getting out of the ruts of thinking, getting away from like the traumas and disasters that they've been focusing on for a while, and hopefully getting to a new way of thinking about things.
Yeah.
And mindset shifts are so important. There's the coherence of, you know, the heart and mind energetics, and that's transformational within itself. But it's all in the right timing when someone is ready for that upgrade in their life. And when they're finished with the lesson, then that's where the miracles can occur outside of just the regular science half and corrupts.
It's funny because in a lot of these talks that I'm having, everything endlessly boils down to, is the patient ready and do they have the right outlook? And so I want to dig into that a little bit just to see how you view that belief system. Is it that if you don't believe that you can get better, you're priming your body to say none of this is going to work anyways? Or is it the fact that you believe you can get better and so you're just willing to try more things until some unlock happens? Or is it can be either of those, or you need both of those, or it could be one or the other is more powerful?
It can be all of the things that you just mentioned, as well as just the focus and the energy is on chasing health.
Yeah.
And therefore, they're still aligning with their health concerns, still aligning with the fact that they have a diagnosis or some sort of disorder, dysfunction, disease, and they're continuing to stay in that rut of chasing on a hamster wheel, chasing down health.
Yeah.
And that's another variable that adds many complexities to it. So, yes, it's true. And if someone is feeling bad, then there are so many issues that can happen physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Uh-huh.
And it is such a distraction from the truth of how we all should be showing up in lives and how we should each be able to express our true nature. And that oftentimes, because it's so such a complicated place to be in, it's hard to pull them, their mindset out enough to be able to see the bigger picture and to be able to shift themselves to my new mindset.
Yeah.
And so there is an importance in the transformation and mindset shifting and, you know, the support of having a team or having a group of people that you do believe in or have confidence in.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's like a community support group that they've also received healing and transformation, these health concerns, so that restores hope.
Mm.
As soon as somebody feels hope, then they now have confidence within their own system, then their own body, the innate nervous system, then they give back power to that to be able to heal. And oftentimes I think that's what we do as practitioners, is we're there to provide a beacon of hope.
Mm.
So that we're able to show people that this is not a forever journey. This isn't something that they have to stay in this diagnosis,
where
they have to define their lives as what has been going on. Instead, they can have hope that we can help pull them out of it. And even if that's something that's exogenous for a few, maybe mindset shifts, and then they latch onto it and really truly embody that and have that own hope from the inside out. And that hope gets transformed into like what's the truth and the true authenticity of how to show you. Then they're able to just truly soar in life and be free to express themselves in a way that's important.
It's funny because as you're talking, you're showing how your personality gives that hope. So I'm just saying I appreciate it because I feel like you're very supportive even during this process. There was a couple of things that I think are very key to latch onto here. You mentioned multiple times physically, mentally, and emotionally. I want to unpack what that really means, because I think people will hear stuff like that and they're like, I don't even know how to approach that, right? And let's just start with emotion. So what is emotional health? Is it the fact that you can have emotions and ignore them? Is it that you suppress emotions? Probably not, I know, but I'm just trying to paint a like very black and white pictures of some arguments that are in the public, right? Mm-hmm. Because really what I'm trying to get to is, and I think you'll resonate with me, it's like the human has thousands of emotions. None of them are good or bad. They all just come up in different areas. Mm-hmm. And the fact that a human can ignore an emotion or just let it pass without actioning it.
Yeah.
Some say that's like true emotional intelligence, which means that you're actually consciously making decisions versus letting the emotion dictate what you're doing, which most people don't. And so how would you define emotional health, right? Is it what I was talking about? Is it something different?
I love that. Okay, there are like three different levels.
Yeah.
I would respond to that.
Yeah.
And I think emotional health, one, there's resilience. So yeah. We have emotions that hit us and we need to be able to have resilience to understand how to take it to another level of thinking so that we don't just react,
yeah,
and respond to that emotion or react energetically in a way that could spin us down into like, say, a negative vortex of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, emotions aren't bad or good, but they can create different feelings within us, different energetic experiences. And that's where we need to find the right balance. So the resilience is there. I think it's important that we also talk about what are emotions. So
yes, please.
Specifically, yeah, in the brain, there are neurotransmitters and we can experience emotions based on neurotransmitter output. These are the communication signals that the neurons can create. And we know dopamine, serotonin, oxytocin, acetylcholine, these different types of neurotransmitters can support communication between the neurons and to the rest of the body. And it can help us feel certain things. And that's an important response physiologically so that our bodies are able to communicate to us in a way that kind of creates a blast signal to us to respond so that our soul and our spirit is able to guide us in certain ways. So that's either shifting into or out of a certain thing that may not be serving our best interest, or it may not be in the best way that our bodies need to use our energy in that day.
Yeah.
And so we need to listen to those signals to a certain extent and also provide the right balance for the nervous system to have the fuel sources and the building blocks to create those neurotransmitters in a way that's very balanced. So that's one component. And then there's also another component of this physiologically where the neurons have synapses. These are like little communication networks where it receives those neurotransmitters and other communication signals. And oftentimes receptor sites can get blocked by toxins. So the receptor sites where those neurotransmitters should dock into, like it's like a lock and key, and that helps a certain cell, any type of cell in the body, notably here, we're talking about the neurons, it helps them to respond to that specific neurotransmitter signal. And if those toxins are built up so much in the brain and we're not able to actually send those signals properly or listen to those signals properly, then we have miscommunication and emotions, negative emotions, can continue to cascade and spiral because of toxicity, health concerns. Physiologically, we don't have the right fuel sources or building blocks, not enough glucose maybe in the brain to actually provide the energy signals for the brain to perform these functions. So that's one side of emotions, and that's the emotional and mental aspects where there can be imbalances. We also energetically have a way of stimulating these neurons to provide communication for emotions. And it's also with another viewpoint of like feelings. So energetically, we can feel certain ways. And it takes it up to another level where it's more about like the conscious connection to certain things that we're feeling. So we have the consciousness skills where maybe we can map certain emotions that are a little bit more negative for the nervous system or negative for the body. And it's not like they're bad. They're just information.
Uh-huh.
And we want to make sure that we're trying to feel energetically as optimized as possible and feel in congruence with our authenticity. And so that's one of the other layers of the nervous system, is it's kind of like the bridge between that communication of the body physiologically, mentally, emotionally, and these communication signals.
Yeah.
And then taking it out to this other level, the soul and spirit is able to respond in certain ways that helps us to stay more in harmony with our own signals that is coming from our spirit of what we are trying to create in life. What is our mission? What's our purpose? What's our vision? What is our way of expressing that's most congruent with ourselves? The coherence that we can feel where things make sense to us. And it's the most similar to our original expression. And that's important that we're always raising up to that level and getting as close to it as possible with our emotions and the feelings.
Amazing. So I'd like to paraphrase back just to make sure I nailed it right. So our brain cells, I'm going to go like layman's term in this. Our brain cells send signals to our body when certain things happen. Those signals are cueing us to say you should pay attention to certain things. If you're in tune with that and it's working properly, you know not to step in front of a car because it's going to hit you. You know that you shouldn't touch fire because it's going to burn you. You know that if you're hugging your mom, it's a nurturing feeling. And those can, through multiple different factors, either it's toxins or lifestyle or you not being in tune with those signals, can cause you to be in like a negative loop where you're constantly making bad decisions. You don't really know why and you're just kind of on autopilot. Is that a good?
Great way to explain that.
Good. Yeah. So when you deal with patients, is that a common problem that they don't even know how to read these cues? And talk to me, is that a more recent phenomenon? Like, you've been at this for 8+ years. Have you seen that progress more? Or has that always been a constant and you have to unpack it from them?
Yes, it's always been a constant and I've had to unpack it. I have become more aware of it and also more, in a way, strong about how I express this to them.
Yeah.
As I've gained more confidence that it's not going to just unravel everything that they're holding on to with their health journey.
Yeah.
I, from the beginning now, will have conversations with them about how I do feel like oftentimes we are on autopilot.
Mm.
Sometimes we've given away our power.
Yeah.
To our health journey, to other practitioners to help us out of the rut of chasing our health.
Yeah.
Or we've given away our power within our own lives, within our own relationships. Maybe we're not staying true to our own authenticity. And that also leads to these health concerns. And now that I have more of this confidence within, by the time somebody's found their way to me, then I know that they are fully entrusting me, mind, body, spirit.
Yeah.
And they know that we'll be able to guide them back to their true nature. And that is a beautiful feeling, to be able to just cut to the chase, go straight to the core and say, this is what's going to help you with this transformation and create miracles within your life. And because they're so ready for that transformation, profound miracles can happen. And it can have a ripple effect on beyond just their health journey, beyond just how they feel within their own system, within their own body. Can also be an inspiration to others around them, within their families, their relationships, or they're a leader, if they're an entrepreneur, then how are they showing up for their teams? What's the impact that they're having on the world?
Right.
You can see huge changes around them because now they're showing up with their true nature, their true voice. They're listening to themselves. They're listening to how their body's responding and going back to that core communication that's direct from their own spirit.
Amazing. I have an interesting question for you. At least I think it's interesting. Is there a chicken and egg argument to be made? Because you touch on physical, mental, and emotional. And I think we've been talking a lot about the mentality to go for it and then emotionally to be able to read cues. But if I'm really physically sick, do we have to start there? Or do you think that it's still more important that we get you aligned with what you want to do and then physically we can get there? Yeah. Or is it a... It really depends on the person and where they're at.
Great question. And there can be so many more layers of difficulties with toxins or inflammation and just the way somebody's feeling physiologically, mentally, emotionally. Yes, that could be such a distraction. And it's so much noise that oftentimes it's very difficult to listen to those subtle, just energetic signals from your spirit or from your self of who you are and how you're showing up. And are you able to truly express yourself? So yes, that is an important component. However, it's not just going to transform itself overnight. Like, we can add in so many detox pathways and support the body and getting rid of biotoxins and inflammation and things like that. But it takes time. And by the time that we've spent maybe like 2 to 3 months on just attempting to pull them enough out of that rut that now they can listen, we still have missed that chance to say time is everything. time is our most valuable possession within this lifetime. And it's important that we're able to give them back every moment. So let's cut to the core. Let's cut to the chase and just say, look, we can create major, profound transformation just by changing the bioharmonics, just by changing the way that you're able to get away from all the noise, away from all these like scattered signals, away from all of this that's just not our true nature, not truly who we are, and then go to those levels of like the quantum physics of the string theory and how we can actually transform the subtle energetics that's the fabric of everything. Like, we have this amazing fabric that we can't see, can't feel, maybe can't measure as easily yet through technology, but it's there and it's all connected. And we're able to go past so many of these things physiologically and mentally, emotionally, within the structure of our system and what we all see and feel, and go into those bioenergetic transformational shifts that can be the major game changer in moments. And, you know, maybe that's all it takes is going straight to the core, helping to align them back with their original harmonics. And then the frequency creates this profound reality shift in the fabric of their reality. And within 45 minutes to an hour, they come out of that and everything else just starts aligning.
And then they're as zen as you. I resonate, right? Because I think most people always want to brute force, like, give me the exact way that I'm going to get better. And what does that look like? What on earth has ever gone according to plan? Literally no business, no health journey. You could take like exact same symptoms, exact same age and twins, and their health protocol is still different, right? So it's like you need overwhelming evidence. But I think, do you resonate with the fact that the brain just wants shortcuts and easy wins? And modern day living has been built to make convenience super accessible and easy. And so therefore it's almost like we demand it now, right? Yeah. It's like, I don't care about any of this stuff. How do I get better so I can go back to what I'm doing? And I think your whole point here is we need to change how you think about the world and your body. Until we can get there, we're not going to have a breakthrough, because I could detox you, and then if you just get detox again, then we have to detox you for life, right? And, you know, I think a lot of the pharmaceuticals act that way because they're like, okay, if you're not going to do anything, then just suppress this until you don't exist anymore. Right. And it's like, you know, I'm not for or against any medicine. I think everything has its place. And at the core, all medicine came from like herbs or molecules, right? And so it's how are we extrapolating them and infusing them? But I think that is the key, right? It's your whole point is nothing can change until that person has changed. And until I know they have, then I can't administer a care plan because it's just going to be in vain. So that's a very congruent way to run your practice. And I think, it's beautiful to hear that, right? Yes. Because not a lot of people operate that way. It's harder work, yes. You know, than just saying like, take this and you're right. Good.
Yeah.
Cool. Let's dive into how has medicine changed, or how has your practice changed over the years, or has it, right? And are you doing things differently now than 5 years ago, than 8 years ago? And why have you made those changes?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, it has changed. It's gone to many new levels as I also have transformed, and I've constantly gone back to the research. If ever I had a question mark with a complex case that was referred to me, I will not stop until I have the answers.
Yeah.
And so far, I haven't ever had that stuck where I couldn't get past the stuck side.
Amazing.
And because of that, I've always had some sort of answer for health concerns and health issues that our traditional scientific is able to explain. beyond that research, whenever I couldn't find any research because the research hasn't been done yet, the technology is not advanced enough, then I would always go in a step further into just the understanding, the intuition, and just really connecting and connecting from that heart-centered approach where I truly care so much about my patients, about their transformation beyond just helping them with their health concerns so that they can have a better life. It's about how can I help them to have that beautiful spark within them is just restored.
Yeah.
And that way they're able to show up in more beautiful ways in their own life, and impact in the world is more profound because of the way that they're able to stay in that congruence with themselves.
Yeah.
So with that, that's what I've been able to constantly have as a default throughout the entire time that I've been in practice. And even as an intern and in residency and all the times that I was working with patients since 2012, I think is when I very first really started to show up in this heart-centered way. And that's where it's the true nature, I think, of practice. If we can all, as practitioners, get back to the heart-centered approach with all of the science, no matter how much we can bring to the table in these complex cases, if we're not truly listening to what it is that their souls are speaking to us, their spirits are actually needing back, reshifted in their life, maybe the harmonics restored, then that's where we're still going to constantly be just chasing the patterns. And so many times we have so many complexities of patterns that we can go into with functional medicine, functional neurology, with integrative medicine in general. We know that there are a lot of rabbit trails that we can chase.
Yeah.
But that just contributes to noise so often. And we still have to just restore that normal harmony and allow for that resonance to reoccur within their lives and help take away that noise that's on their plates. So we're not also giving them this big bucket list of tasks and items that they have to do. We want to make sure that they understand how can they transform their life, transform their lifestyle, and live in a way that they're going to be resilient against health concerns coming back to their system. And that's by staying back in congruence with that harmony.
I love that. I do have to ask, though, how do you get to a place where you're heart-centered and you can listen? And basically what you're saying to me is,
I'm going to paraphrase, by listening to someone's spirit, you're really listening to non-verbal cues.
Yeah.
How are they telling you what they're telling you? Are they giving you insights between the lines, right? So I think that's like maybe,
if you want to call it softer skills or experience softer skills. And if someone's listening going, I wish I could do that with my patients, is that something that always came naturally to you? Is that something that maybe you learned about and then had to hone in? And is there ways that you got to a point where you can do that better?
Yes, definitely. Well, I think that we all have profound amounts of empathy that we've experienced for our patients throughout the years. That's why we're in this, why we're showing up. We want so badly to help them. Empathy is tough on us all. Then we feel and we experience the emotions of what they're going through. We experience the hardships, the stressors, the pain.
Yeah.
And it's difficult and it takes its toll. So for one, we really need to, as practitioners, get back in tune with that ourselves. And that is our own journey. That's a journey that we have to be on to be able to inspire them, because we've walked the walk and we've also gotten out of the noise within ourselves, within our own business and how we're showing up in life and, you know, just trying to create in life.
Yeah.
May not be congruent with how we truly are in our spirit, in our heart. And so, yes, we have to create that time and that opportunity for us to listen to ourselves. And I think, you know, that's going into the quiet journaling, the meditation, the time for breath work, the time for movements and energy work that can really help you with getting back in line with that. And it's also just knowing that we have to transform ourselves out of that empathetic approach and still just saying we're going to hold space from a heart-centered approach, from a soul-centered approach, where we're creating the space and the capacity through inspiration to go to the seventh level. And yeah, it's a journey that we all are on, every single human being.
Yeah.
We have to show up in this way, and that's what helps us each with transformation. So we're not just living life on autopilot.
Yeah. No, it's a great point. I want a little bit more around. So let's say I'm being empathetic. I'm letting somebody else in. It's notoriously, since you're a provider, it's not good things necessarily, right? Like, they have an issue, which is why they're there in the first place. Don't get me wrong. I know you work with like longevity and people wanting to live forever as well. That's a different conversation. But I think most people are not in that bucket. Most people are like, something's off. I really want to get better. I don't feel myself. And people have told me this, that I'm an empath and I can feel things. And until I kind of noticed that I could do that, it was hard for me to, like, I would always be emotionally heightened because I would feel that as I would feel bad for somebody, right? And it was hard to take that energy on because it's draining, right? It's very hard to be like, I'm going to feel what you're feeling and it's pain.
Yes.
And so maybe you could talk a little bit about how do you deal with taking on all these things, holding that space, and then still being used, energetic, vibrant, flying all over the world. You know, I think you were a month in Europe for like a retreat, you know.
Yeah.
So you're doing all these things, you have a busy practice and you're growing and you can show up the way that you do, which is in a very vibrant way. What are maybe some strategies or things you've implemented that have made that autopilot for you or easier, let's say?
Definitely. Well, I think the best definition of transforming from empathy would be transitioning into compassion. We can care and love these beautiful patients so hard that we can share compassion for them and what they're going through and still hold space
in
a way that says, we know that if they can just get out of their rut, if they can just stop chasing their own health and just stop chasing the next thing that they can add to their plates to try to create a change within their life. And instead just say, let's take it one moment at a time, truly transform integrally and intrinsically, then great. We can have that compassion for them. It's just as much love as there would be with empathy, but it's even more so, we're holding the space for them to have that transformation and for us not to take it off, because energetically we can take on their pain into our own field. And then it's less that we have of our own energy for the next client or for ourselves.
Yeah.
And it takes its toll. And many of our clients are also, they're empaths and they're taking on
right.
so many other energies around them, and it's contributing to their health concerns. Yep. So we have to, again, be the inspiration to them, to show them that we care so much and we have that compassion. But as far as empathy, we're not going to just allow them to stay in that rut and then take on their energy. If they want to continue to speak about their traumas or to live out their traumas and they're not able to help heal from those stressors, then they're going to just constantly stay in the pain. And that's a really tough place to be in. And if we join them in that pain, it's just further creating the energy around it. So we have to pull them out of it together. And that's part of why I'm able to live this thrive and longevity like template.
Yeah.
I was telling you about biosensors. Like, I have an HRV of above 150 on average. And I think my max is, it goes up to 250, 260 sometimes. And so an HRV like that, her heart rate variability, you know, this is like just one of the ways of expressing how the nervous system stays in balance. When we have higher HRV, it's one of the measurements that we can see that we have more resilience against stressors.
Mm-hmm.
That took me a lot of nervous system work to get to that place.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are so many other bioenergetic metrics and things that we can see. When we have that in our field, then there's coherence and we can feel that. And just being within our field, they can feel the transformation within themselves. Their field also starts to level. And that's what we do, is we're sharing that compassion. We're sharing that our field is going to stay in this harmony with ourselves.
Yeah.
And that coherence can help them with regulating, but it doesn't get us out of our own regulation. We still are going to constantly have that thriving regulation in the self.
No, it's a very good point, right? It's essentially, I'm going to, again, paraphrase just to make sure I got it and that
I didn't misinterpret.
You don't take the energy on, you hold space for them, but you have to push them through, right? Because they can't stay there either. And therefore, with that in mind, you're like, everyone's aligned because I'm not losing out on energy. They're not staying in where they shouldn't be. And I can
do it all day because yes. I don't need to affect myself. All right.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Very, very cool. One thing I liked about some of your messaging that you put out is you co-create wellness plans. Walk me through a co-creation.
Yeah. So definitely with these wellness plans, it's exactly why our friend said as that. It's not a health journey of just leading them back to health. Health is already there. The wellness is what we work on maintaining. So we're helping them with lifestyle choices and optimization that helps them to just truly live life to the fullest, to thrive in life, to create the structure physiologically that will help their system to hold that higher state of energy. So that could look like us adding in nutrition that is a fuel source that the body can actually use, the building blocks that help the body to have what it needs to create the communication signals in a more optimized way so that they're not missing out on listening to those signals that their body is trying to create. We need to think about how are they taking in toxins and is it too much for their toxic burden bucket to where they do start feeling like the receptor starts are getting blocked, communication signals can't lodge in those cells like they need to, and signals are getting missed. Again, they're still physiologically not able to listen to them, just listen to that inner voice, that inner truth. And then we will work on optimizing just their environment around them. So their environment is a space of safety and of optimal healing. And that may look like proper air quality, proper water quality. It goes into some of these ways that we are showing up and how are we creating this sanctuary for our own bodies to constantly be in this beautiful energetic space that doesn't have to shift out of wellness.
Yeah.
And then I think the most important thing that I help them create within this wellness plan is the opportunity for resilience. So most of the time, whenever we go into big health journeys, if we've had complex health concerns that have made us think about health as a forefront of our thoughts for months or years, however long we're chasing that health, then we oftentimes get into a place where we're just living in this small little bubble because we're so afraid to branch out and get back to that health concern again.
Hmm.
When we get back into this harmony with ourselves, when our energy is fully restored, and when we're in this resonance with ourselves, then that's where we're able to have so much resilience because we aren't in the harmony that allows toxins to stick. It just, they get shifted out.
Yeah.
As quickly as they come into our systems. The same thing with the, you know, biotoxins and toxins are one way that we think about it. And that's like more chemical or physiological.
Mm-hmm.
It's also energetic toxins,
right? Yeah.
People around us, how are we showing up and what are their fields projecting into us? Are we allowing their fields to come into our frequency and are we taking on things? And it can be just as toxic mentally, emotionally, spiritually.
Yeah.
And so we have to have resilience, but the resilience comes from us maintaining that perfect harmony within ourselves. And that's the wellness plan. So we think about all of these different layers and create together with them a plan that works for them.
Yeah.
Because they oftentimes have certain things that they need to get out of their toxic burden bucket and maybe certain relationships, certain friendships that aren't serving them any longer. Or they're just... they have to have boundaries with them.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe the way that environmental toxins are coming in, we have to make proper lifestyle choices to help with optimizing the way that when there's a few toxins that come in, their system knows what to do with it. You can get that out just quickly. Their immune system is capable of actually protecting them against biotoxins, mold, Lyme disease, any viral conditions, whatever it is that their system may be concerned about. We know that their system is capable innately of protecting them as long as they have that resilience in their wellness plan.
Yeah.
And co-creating it with them is a very enjoyable process because it puts them back into the front seat as they're able to have power given back to them. And so they feel like they are able to maintain this wellness plan for their entire life. So this is what creates the longevity plan. If they're living another 50 to 100 years, however long it is that they're able to physiologically, they feel much more aligned with this wellness plan because they co-created it together and it makes sense in their lives.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's the complete opposite of what people are used to, right? I'm the doctor. Here's what you're doing. Get out of the door. And so it's like, most people are like, well, is there anything else that I can do? Why didn't you explain to me what's going on? So I really like that because you're essentially saying, yes, I'm a care provider and I have all this expertise, but I'm gonna be your team member in your health, which is something you have to own, right? Yeah. You can't be there telling them every step of the way what to do. And I think that's it's a super important point. And I think a lot of medicine, at least pockets of medicine, are starting to realize, like, hey, we need to meet people where they are. We need them to trust, understand what's going on, and not only then can we move forward. Otherwise, you're just, again, you're masking symptoms until it's a huge problem.
Yes, definitely.
Great. Last thing I want to dive into.
How important is in practice and virtual? Like, do you feel like virtual is fine no matter what? Like, even if it was just all virtual versus, do you feel like there's still an importance of seeing somebody? What has been your experience? Because I know you do both. And some people don't. They do one or the other, and then some people do both. So I was curious to see, and I think nowadays it's more common to have virtual. So my take on it is, and you might tell me I'm wrong, as long as they trust the provider and can communicate with them properly, it's not a problem.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly what I've seen too.
Yeah.
I love being able to have the virtual practice because so many people feel very comfortable in their own home and they have so many things going on with their own lives that they're able to have this wellness journey with the ease and just the grace of whatever they're already doing in life, they could just add it in. They don't have to put an appointment on the books or fly into a practice to be seen at that one date, that one time. And it's not just postponing the start and the initiation of that wellness plan. I want everyone to get started as quickly as they can in this optimal wellness. And I also think that it's important to know that with virtual, that's where we're able to create space for them to feel the transformation, that it truly is intrinsic. It's not like they had somebody that worked on them this one time and that changed their health. So then therefore they are dependent on that. Mm. So they have to come in to get that re-up and revamp on their health journey to make them feel better. And I want to, as one of the most important messages, it's the intrinsic healing that is occurring. And it's that internal healing. And it's just them that transforms. We're just holding space with them to make the transformational shifts. And that is very important, that they feel that empowerment. And many times, having the training wheels off and not being able to come in and to give that power babe by going into a practice to get that transformation, that's what's able to prove it to themselves, that they were capable of this all along. And we are just holding space for a new way of thinking, for a new mindset or a new energy shift. And I love that part. Now, I think that there is also a beautiful opportunity for community and for feeling like we have like-minded individuals around us that understand where we are, understand how we're feeling, how we're experiencing life, and also can inspire us. And so there is an importance of having weekly or monthly sessions. And in a virtual space, we have that sense of community where other people are committed to this amazing transformational shifts, as well as we're able to feel how they're transforming in their lives. We're able to see how it can also be an inspiration with us within our own lives, within our businesses or practices or our families or however we are trying to create these transformations. And so walking that journey together, I think, is very important. It's not just a virtual practice of showing up on a Zoom call every once in a while with a provider and having inspiration or creating a wellness plan or getting a transformational shift or whatever it is. that's also in that sense of community. So one thing that you're doing at Resonance Wellness is ensuring that there's that sense of community in online virtual retreats monthly. We have group calls for a certain level of however committed someone is to their journey in the wellness plan, and they're able to feel this camaraderie and this community that's like a tribe.
Yeah.
And that's where we have huge inspiration and impacts together.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. I know I said last thing, but one more thing. And we can make this, you know, not overly burdensome, but I would love to know, because again, you guys are so innovative. What technology are you using to A, make their practice run better, B, get better patient outcomes, make processes easier, get data on people? Like, could you give us a breakdown?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Okay, so a couple of different things. I think it's important, like digitally and on platform, for us to have a place for programs, for courses, for community, for things like that. And so I have the Practice Better EHR system, which is able to integrate with certain software systems. Mm-hmm. And I love biometrics. Biometric data is very important for us to understand and get a pulse on how our plants are doing. What is the transformational shift that we can get physiologically to ensure that the system is set up and ready to have huge transformation in the wellness journey as well? So yes, we've already talked about like the biometrics of heart rate variability.
Yeah.
And I like the Oura Ring I wear it constantly just because I like to get a pulse of my own resilience and how quickly I transition into and out of stress responses. I like to see my own biorhythms and things like that. And love pairing that with continuous glucose monitoring and Theia. And the reason why is because we know if we're able to see where the fuel sources are provided, I mean, when we have proper communication signals getting built, so when we don't have deficiencies, that the system is then like, it's almost like handcuffs are put onto what could be an optimally functioning system. If we're able to truly restore and create everything on a silver platter that the body needs by ensuring that the fuel sources are there and we're not having massive crashes, or we're not having big changes and alterations to what the system should have in place, then we know that the body is set up for success. And then it's just the transformation energetically.
Amazing.
Yeah, Theia has been a huge game changer for me in that. And that's where it's nice because it's able to backlink and integrate into our systems digitally so I can get a pulse on our patients. And I'm able to see and log in and actually watch in the app how the changes are happening as we're making the lifestyle optimization factors. And that's through inspiration around eating and how they're creating food as medicine, right? And how they're actually taking in their fuel sources and making lifestyle choices over the course of a couple of weeks or months. And they can actually see and get a pulse on themselves and see how big of a difference they actually feel emotionally, mentally, neurologically, and spiritually.
Absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Where can people go to see your content? I know you put out a bunch of content, you know, look at your story and connect with you.
Yes, wonderful. DrLeelaDoolittle.com and ResonanceSoulLeadership.com. These are our websites that provide the opportunity to get in touch, get involved, and out the different platforms and programs and ways to have a sense of community.
Before we wrap up today's episode, let's take a moment to understand why continuous glucose monitoring, oftentimes referenced as CGM, can be such a powerful tool in optimizing your health. Glucose is the fuel that your body relies on to power virtually every cell, for your muscles and your immune system, to your heart, and most importantly, in my opinion, your brain and the neurological system. The entire nervous system is dependent on moderated levels of blood sugar regulation, of insulin, glucose, and supporting the way that your system is using the fuel sources. When we keep our blood sugar levels stable and within healthy range, we are not just supporting stable energy and mood, we're nurturing cognitive clarity, emotional resilience, and long-term brain health. Through real-time insights, CGMs reveal how your body responds to different foods, stressors, sleep patterns, and exercise habits. This data can be transformative, helping you identify triggers for fatigue, brain fog, or metabolic dips. Armed with this information, you can make informed intentional, personalized adjustments that bolster the health of your nervous system, liver, muscles, and the metabolic balance. That's where Theia Health AI comes into play. Under the leadership of Boris Bergen, Theia Health AI uses cutting-edge software integrated with CGM technology to translate raw glucose data into actionable items. Their advanced analytics and machine learning algorithms empower you and your healthcare team to make evidence-based decisions that support metabolic resilience and cognitive performance. In other words, working with Theia Health AI means turning complex data into a clear map for better health and longevity. If you're ready to take the next step, consider Theia Health AI for your continuous glucose monitoring needs. To learn more or to get started, visit their website at theiahealth.ai. For an even deeper dive into metabolic health, follow their podcasts and learn and join their online community, where you'll find educational resources, expert interviews, and opportunities for direct support. Your brain thrives on stable energy, and with Theia Health AI CGM's tools, you'll have the insights you need to craft a life of vibrant health, cognitive clarity, and metabolic balance. Get in touch, explore their offerings, and discover how Theia Health AI can guide you toward a healthier, more resilient future.